So I'm floating like a bee. I'm floating home from the world away. Things are clear to me. Spring is coming back to the land. It's only 4 degrees out, but I feel it's true. And I cannot find the moon. The stars are little pinpricks. But neither us is wounded. Neither us is sick. Oh, everybody's wounded. Everybody's sick, I say that. Neither one of us is wounded. Neither us is sick. World gonna be so cruel to you. World gonna be so mean. I'm gonna catch you when you're falling through. I'ma flood you like a trampoline.
Throw me like a trampoline. Skip me like a stone. Shake me like a tambourine. In a little bed to stuffer. Oh, you don't know how the punches I've been thrown. It's out living to me. Treat me as a palomino. Put me down on that plane. I'll see you as a shadow.
So cruel to you. World gonna be so mean. I'm gonna catch you when you're falling through. I'm throwing you like a trampoline. Ooh, 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 yeah. Ooh. We just want time. Give us just a little time. Just a little time. Just a little time. Just a little time. World gonna be so cruel to you. World gonna be so mean. I'm gonna catch you when you're falling through. I'm gonna throw you like a train.
Want that to end. Thank you so much. We have Birds of Chicago right here in the KVNF studios with us. Birds of Chicago is a collective based around JT Nero and Allison Russell. They're joined by their band, Nick Chambers on drums, Chris Merrill on bass, and Joe Fallhaber on guitar. With their music, you'll hear echoes of mountain gospel, street corner doo-wop, and classic soul. They've been touring internationally, and we're lucky enough to have them perform in Paonia Town Park tonight starting at 7 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us on Talkin' Music today.
Thank you. Thank you. We are the lucky ones.
It's yeah. Just watching you perform, sometimes when people are performing, they're kind of playing it cool, and you still hear the music, but you guys, like, you are feeling it while you're singing it. Okay. It's really fun to see you.
No one's ever accused us of being very cool on stage.
No, but it's nice because it's infectious. It's really lovely to witness. So for several years, you were in two separate bands. Mm-hmm. Allison was in Poe Girl out of Canada. JT was in JT in the Clouds out of Chicago. But you collaborated. These two bands did. And then you worked together on Mountain Forests, which was released under the JT Nero banner, which is where you really tapped into your voices together, which obviously work together. And now you're about to collaborate as parents.
We are.
Yeah.
We're expecting our first baby. We're really excited and, you know, terrified on all that. Yeah, in December. We're due in December, so we're at the beginning of the 6 month right now.
How is it performing pregnant?
Are you really fun? She really, we know it's a little girl. We found out, and she sort of dances around. She really reacts to the, you know, because the vibrations are right sort of next to her of the banjo and the ukulele and things. So she'll kind of groove around a little bit. It's pretty fun. She seems to be enjoying it, I think.
Uh-huh. We keep telling
ourselves. I think we're telling ourselves she's enjoying it.
That she likes the music.
Stop. Yes. Stop, please stop. We'll know for sure when she comes out, I guess.
If she runs away when she sees
the banjo, then we'll know she wasn't enjoying it.
Please make it stop. So you're touring right up until she's due, right?
Yeah, pretty well. Well, we're going to tour right up through Thanksgiving. So we'll be about, three weeks out from our due date. If all goes well, she might have other plans. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's our plan
stage.
A. And yes,
that would
JT's
be quite a
been
show.
Joking about we'll have the first
Any
live
press
birth
is good
on
press.
Stage. Right? Which we're not going to do that, but it's a funny joke.
And then you'll take some time off a little bit.
Yeah, December and January. But we're actually going to get back on the road in February in Europe. And we're so lucky to have the most amazing grandma-to-be in the world. JT's mom is just an incredible lady, and she's retired, and she's going to come with us to help us with our new bundle of love on the road.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah, in February. So, yeah, we'll report back.
Do you guys like touring? Is that fun?
Yeah, we love it. I do, anyway.
Yeah, we love it. And, I mean, I think it's actually, I mean, it was one of the original things that pulled Allie and me together is that we both were, you know, really, really attracted to the, you know, the kind of vagabond life. And, you know, it's got its own rhythm and regimen. But we really do. We do, you know, any job has its grind, you know, and parts of it where you're, you know, feeling a little bit rough. But, you know, it's absolutely what we want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of exploring.
And what we will be doing. Yeah.
And you tour in Europe a lot because you have a big fan base in the Netherlands and the UK, right?
Mm-hmm. In Ireland, we've been heading over there. And actually, next year, we're going to start doing more of continental Europe as well. We've started working with a new promoter, so we're going to go to Spain and France and Italy and Norway for the first time next year. So we're really excited to explore, you know, more of that continent.
Oh, yeah. What do you think the European audiences are tapping into with, like, because you do have a big fan base over there?
You know, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, there's always a little bit of that. I mean, just the way over here some of our, you know, our young rock kids get super obsessed with, you know, say music that's coming out of, I don't know, the Manchester scene. You know,
uh-huh.
there's always going to be a bit of that kind of something is more interesting
exotic.
When it's from a distant shore. And, you know, we've just found that the people who are really into, well, over there, they kind of use Americana in maybe even a more blanket way than we do. That anything that sort of has a bit of a roots American element to it. The people that are into that over there are really into it.
Yeah.
Super enthusiasts, and they tend to be pretty encyclopedic in their knowledge. In fact, we're always getting kind of shamed because they, you know.
Know much more than we do.
Yeah, someone will, right? You know, someone will, like, you know, come up and start talking to you about, like, you know, some Leuven Brothers, you know, album that was never released or something, and just sort of talking to you like, obviously you know about this. And we fake our way through a lot of conversations over there. they know their stuff really well, and so that's, I mean, that's really, really pleasing. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes in the States, you know, we don't really think of ourselves of having a genre. We kind of float under things like Americana because it really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And but it's a little harder for people to wrap their heads around. They want to put you into a, you know, kind of a marketing box. And it seems to be not so much there. Maybe just because to them we're just, you know, we're Americans.
Yeah.
So that's the box, you know.
Yeah.
But from a musical standpoint, it's nice.
Yeah, I noticed when I was in England, I don't know, this was like maybe 7 years ago, there were scenes, like music scenes, that were still completely committed to a scene, a music scene that they started getting into maybe in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like there was a whole ska scene that had not at all diminished, you know. And so you saw these like sort of 60-year-old skinheads basically that had been into that scene for 30 years and they were fully committed still. Wow. What are some of the old school bands that you guys listen to and get inspired by?
Old school?
Yeah. And new school.
You know, I mean, I think for us, I mean, well, for me, and I think the fellas, I mean, a lot of the old soul guys, you know, just, the, you know, predictable ones, Sam Cooke's, you know, the Titans, Otis Redding, all the Motown stuff. That's a big part of our tradition. But also, you know, the
band is a huge influence on you.
Yeah,
I think,
the band,
and
absolutely.
Van Morrison.
And the band, probably, because if you ask the band, they would say the exact same thing. You know, like there's a big gospel, particularly in the way we harmonize. And gospel of different varieties, you know, the mountain gospel, the kind of which people associate with more of a bluegrass thing, and but also kind of more of a you know, what I think of is a Southern and Middle American Baptist tradition of harmony singing, more often than not African American. Those things are big. I mean, the Staple Singers. Staple Singers are huge
fans.
Huge to me.
We listen to them a lot on the road, actually.
Yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, they're kind
great
of
great driving music. Gets you
they
through the
soothe
miles.
Me in a way that, yeah. Like, yeah, not many people do. You know, but we all grew up listening. I mean, we're rock and roll. You know, I mean, up until I was 15, I didn't listen to, well, I listened a little bit, but if you asked me, I would tell you that I didn't listen to anything but rap. You know, like rap was, that was my punk music. That was, you know, my rebel music. And, you know, I think that we try to keep our ears open as much as we can.
Nice. And I'm here with Birds of Chicago. They're going to be playing tonight in Paonia Town Park, right here in KBNF Studios. Would love to hear another song if we could.
Sure. Absolutely. This tune's called Cannonball. From our latest Birds of Chicago self-titled release.
Love that album.
And it's definitely a Chicago song. We live right across the street from Humboldt Park in Chicago, which is gorgeous, many blocks long city park, and in the day it's idyllic and wonderful, and at night it gets kind of scary, and that's sort of what this is about.
Yeah, sometimes it's, you know, you got to figure out a way to carve out your peace and love in violent places.
See the sun 7 days in a row. Give me rain on 5, 6 be snow. The 7 bring the locusts from heaven, you know. They come and see me, baby, when we're back on 1. That's when I get my good loving done. Give me rock on 2, roll on 3, 4. I'm hearing voices in the breeze. Oh, something's coming, something's running right up on you. Ooh, ooh, here comes my The meadow is not enough. We need a tiger laying in the cut. Oh, my tiger. Oh, my viper. Oh, my darling Clementine. I love in the dying time. Lonely hearts soaked in rye. City of wolf, city of ghosts, city of the people I love the most. Something's coming, something's running right up on you. Ooh, 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 here comes my cannonball. Ooh, ooh, here comes my wrecking ball. Well, the light in you. Well, they call him down by Little Cup's feet. Beat that boy till his ears were bleeding. Cut a hole in the curtain of the dead of the night. Took his love, took his life. You wanna do right by that boy's heart. Gather your kin, go down to the park. Bucket of chicken, bottle of beer. Let those sons of bitches know that love's still here. Oh, something's coming, something's running right up on you. Ooh.
Cannonball from Birds of Chicago. Thanks so much for being here. This is fun. Got the full band in here. JT was telling me, Allie, that you've collaborated with the Carolina Chocolate Drops and you're friends with them, and you did a project, a theater project that was about the roots of Black vaudeville.
Yes, it was. It was really an amazing experience. We did it, I guess it was November of 2011, at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago. And it was all written kind of a collaborative co-write between members of the Chocolate Drops, Rhiannon's sister, Lelania Harrington, and a fabulous multi-instrumentalist who's collaborated with them on and off named Sule Greg Wilson, kind of wrote the narration, and it was really like a silent movie in some ways. There were like moments of dialogue, but then a narrator and music, of course, was the thread. And I mean, those guys are just such incredible musicologists as well as fantastic musicians, and they've really done so much to kind of bring to light the early Black music traditions and Black country music and everything sort of up to the race records that we are familiar with because of recordings. But they've gone back, you know, they learned from all of these, this incredible archive of music from Joe Thompson, who's since passed on, but he was one of the last kind of Black fiddlers doing the Piedmont tradition in North Carolina, and they learned literally at his feet, you know.
Wow.
And so it was pretty amazing experience, and we had a 6-show, 5-day run, and, you know, sold out and fantastic. And we all talk about, we've got to do that again somewhere, take it on the road. But everybody is so busy. And of course, Rhiannon's got two beautiful kids on the road right now, and they've won the Grammy and they're touring a lot. So
yeah, they're busy.
Who knows when we'll get to do that again, but hopefully one of these days. It was really an amazing experience. I was very lucky to be part of that, for sure.
Very cool. So yeah. How do you know them?
Well, I met them in Canada in 2006 at the Vancouver Folk Music Festival. My other band, Po Girl, were playing, and they were playing that same year, and we all shared, they kind of put the artists up in the student dormitories mm-hmm. at the University of British Columbia, which is quite close to the festival site, and we were all sharing a dorm room, so we had these epic jams, you know, after the festival was over back at our dorm, and just really bonded and kind of kept in touch. And then I did a recording with Dom Flemons and with Sule Gregg while Rhiannon was having her first child. My fellow Canadian Ndidi Onakwulu and I kind of filled in for her on this recording called Sankofa, the Uptown Strut. And it was sort of like a jug band archival CD in a way. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then when they were doing this project in Chicago, they wanted a clarinet player who could sing. So they gave me a call to play the role of City Girl in this production.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not playing it today in the studio, right. But I'll play it at the park for sure.
Where did you start getting into music?
I grew up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So I'm the imposter. I'm the bird of Chicago that's a Canadian.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but I'm married to an American, so I'm an
There's
honorary
a lot of Canadian birds in
right.
Chicago.
I'm an honorary bird of Chicago. We're Chicagoan. But
they all stop in Chicago.
They do actually. All the Canada geese come
birds.
Through. They migrate. I'm one of them. I'm one of the migrating Canadian birds, I guess. But Montreal is a really music rich city. I mean, we have the most amazing jazz fest every year in July and June and July. And I grew up hearing free music there. And my grandma was a big influence. She was not a trained musician, but, you know, had taught herself to play piano and sang in her church choir and just loved music and sang me lots of fabulous Scottish murder ballads and things growing
nice.
Up. My mum is Scottish and so that side of the family are really, really, really musical. And I just kind of grew up around music. My mum's a beautiful piano player. She's the only one that's classically trained, actually, in the family. She's a classically trained pianist. And I rebelled and didn't learn, which I regret now, of course. But I'm making up for it now.
Yeah.
I'm making up for
doing a little bit of music.
Yeah, I'm making it up for it now, yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you guys write new material when you're touring, when
yes.
you're driving around?
Yeah, we do. We have to, otherwise it would never get written, because we've been touring about 250 days of the year for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So, and actually, JT is, I'm a terrible navigator because I fall asleep really easily. So, but he's decided that this is a positive thing, because then he has this silence to kind of work on songs in his head as he's driving. So mm-hmm. you do a lot of that, I think, don't you?
I do.
Write songs
yeah.
in your head. Well, isn't it nice that I fall asleep like that?
It
so
is.
You have
it's,
that
it's
privacy.
It's another way you yeah. very other minded.
Yes.
Do you guys collaborate on the lyrics?
Not on the lyrics. We'll each write our own lyrics mm-hmm. and the bare bones of the song, but then we bring it to each other to flesh out and bring it to these amazing musicians to flesh out as well. So the records are very, very much and
right.
the dance moves. Yeah.
yeah, we
the records are very collaborative.
Kind of like each one of, you know, I'll write the skeleton, you know, like the chords and the basic melody and lyric idea, and then bring it to the group, and invariably it always changes and morphs a bit. And you know, when you're with musicians you really trust, that's the way you want it, you know. So
right.
it always ends up in a better place than I, you know, first imagined it.
Right.
So
it sort of takes. It seems like art, all art forms, just sort of take on a life of their own at some point. You just have
very
to.
Much so.
It's
yeah.
True.
Very
it's true.
Much so.
Yeah. That's funny you say. I mean, there's you kind of got to let them go. Like once they're done, they're not yours
yeah.
anymore. You
and
know.
Particularly once you record them and put them out there, they can mean anything to anyone. You know, it can be a totally different song than what you thought you'd written for someone else.
Right.
You know? Which is, I love that. That's sort of the magic, part of the magic of it.
Yeah. And I'm here with Birds of Chicago. We'll hear one more song, and then you can catch them in the park tonight or on KVNF Live at 7 o'clock.
All right. Thanks, Ali. This is one of the new ones we were talking about. It's called All the City Girls.
Nothing like a wild and bleeding town put you in the here and now. Spring is gone, shake off that dream.
Yeah.